This is the Chasing Tomorrow podcast with Joe Gagnon. We bring you captivating conversations that will inspire all of us to go after our own version of a high-performance life.
Welcome to Chasing Tomorrow podcast. It's Joe and Sean again, post-Joshua Tree run. We were just chatting it up a little bit about how do you feel afterwards? What do you think about what's next? Big challenges, community, the spirit of adventure, all of that. I'll just say before I let Sean jump in that for me, it was just an amazing experience to hang out with a lot of like-minded people, supportive of each other, wanting to go and experience nature. The sunrise was amazing. The terrain was crazy. I don't know, maybe we saw three people over a 37-mile one-way kind of adventure, and just was reminded of both how beautiful nature is, what challenges are about, but sort of the idea of just getting out and doing something really different, you know, ends up it's like one day, but maybe a couple of days between setup. It felt like I took a week off because it was so immersive and so engaging. And so I can't wait to do it again. Talk some more about that. But Sean, how are you feeling a couple of days later?
Feeling good. Thank you for asking. I'm very, very happy with how my body feels. Yeah. Was able to take a run, lift a little yesterday. We finished really Saturday night, technically Sunday, because it was after midnight. So completely took Sunday off, just rolled around, whatever, but was able to get a nice, slow 3 mile run in and just light lifting and sauna, just honestly with no intensity. It was all about trying to just get blood moving.
Yep.
Something I will say that I was a little shocked. It really wore like my energy down. Mm-hmm. Like mentally, I remember like the night before, like Sunday night, you were gone from the house. Everyone was kind of cleaning up. Me and Emma looked at each other and there was like four shirts to fold. Just throw them on the floor. I have no willpower. And then I try to eat pretty clean. Even after something like that, I don't think you should eat junk to recover. There was like pizza and Tyler. I started eating like my third slice and Tyler's like, you usually don't eat pizza. I have no more willpower.
I think it's also this combination of your system is now trying to figure it out. What do you need? I don't know if you have, I did this one race one time. At the end, my friend said, would you like an orange? I'm like, yeah, sure. And then I proceeded to eat like 10 pieces of orange. It was clear that's what my body needed. So I do think that at any level of effort where you go past 2 or 3 hours, you now have to go through some kind of reset at every level, physical, the emotional, all of that. So it's not surprising to me, having done a lot of these, that's rather unpredictable. The one thing I do remember also is if you were to ever after a race, try and go in a store and make a decision on what you want, you'd never be able to decide because you're like, your capacity for decision-making
window. That is funny. Yeah. I really just felt like, just like drained. And I don't think people think, oh, you're going to sleep forever afterwards. I was we're in a beautiful home, very comfortable bed. I was uncomfortable. My body was just aching and stiff. And then also there's a weird, you talked about immersion, right? That's actually something I want to stick on. The amount of presence that I felt after that, during and right after, I didn't want to go to bed. Also, like who Bo and Tyler, oh, right when we get there, I'm going to take Advils. No, feel it. And I don't, not in like a sadistic way, in like a very present way, just like feel it. It's funny. When I look back on one hand, right? On Friday, we drove all of my stuff in the car. It took us an hour to unload and put stuff in closets so you guys didn't walk into a crowded house. Then you guys came. Then everyone came. I drove an hour, picked you up from the airport. We're packing bags. We're making food. We're doing everything. Go to bed. Wake up at 2 a.m. Run for 20 hours. Come back, whatever. And then drive 2 hours and unpack or pack up the car, drive 2 hours, unpack again, get settled in this new house. Mm-hmm. Seems like a lot. I feel like I took a 2 week vacation too, Joe.
Yeah.
The immersion that happened, it feels like those are like lifelong friends now.
I know. That shared experience, the struggle, the feeling of camaraderie and support, it changes. You feel good, you feel bad, you're helping someone, you're needing help yourself, the struggle. Yeah, I don't think that fully, like the good thing about what we did is that we were out for an adventure. And so you didn't have the burden of a starting point and an ending point. Yeah. But I think that allowed us to have different experiences. That's why you wanted to hang around and talk. That's why we wanted to share. How did you feel? What was it like for you? It's fun to see people get out of a chair after one of these endurance events, whether it's 30 miles, 60 miles, 90 miles, 100 miles, like whatever it is, the body, every time it stops, it wants to go to rest. So then you have to disrupt it. And you see people sort of limping around and it's good to chuckle at each other. If you were just by yourself afterwards, I think it is, you're missing part of the overall experience.
Yeah, definitely agree. It's even funny, like we're sitting around that fire the next day and mm-hmm. we started talking. And again, I wanted to make sure everyone socially felt comfortable. And everyone did, but I still made the point to mention to everybody, I was, hey, like, not everyone here is best friends, right? But then it seemed like everyone's like thought was not if, but it was, when do we all get together and do the next one? It was really beautiful. One of the big things I learned, you nailed it, was that, and I mean, I was talking about my experience having to drive in, unpack the car. Mm-hmm. You flew in Friday night and flew out Sunday at lunchtime. I bet it feels like you were there for more than 40 hours, you know?
Oh, yeah. I feel like I was there, honestly, for a week. It is a crazy feeling. And we all have jobs that we do. And then when I got back into it, like late Sunday, I'm on the flight. And oh, wow. How much I felt like I had been gone for a long time. So it is this intensity of the detachment that you can get to when you put yourself in this kind of remote situation. Look, at the end of the day, your senses have to be very high because you just don't know what the unknown brings, whether it's you run out of water, you struggle up a hill. It doesn't really matter. All of that is pulling on our resources. And Sean, you're talking a little bit about, I know we're going to dive into always the what's next. On the community side, everyone knows this. If you go out and do any kind of shared experience, that's a bond that's created for a very long time. Those bonds really don't go away. And it is easy to get back together again because everyone had, you're right, this was a group. I didn't even realize that this is a group that had never done anything like this together. I mean, other than you and Emma as a group, that was pretty cool to see. But then once you have success with that, you want to do it again. Then you think, okay, I kept thinking about this afterwards. If you're signing up for 100, you're still out there. If you're going to go 200 miles, you're still out there for days and days. And what is it like to amp it up another level for you, Sean? You're a pretty fit dude, I gotta say. You win 100% the eating contest part of endurance.
Nice power.
You guys have been listening to this podcast for a long time. I've had two of the best multi-day runners in history on, right? Dave was co-host for a while. He has a record across Canada. Pete Kostelnik's been on many, many times. I'm gonna get the two of them back on soon just to have a three-way. But they both talk about that long distance running is an eating contest. That's really what it is, because it's the rest of the structure only works if the nutrition balance and the hydration balance are there. I don't know, Sean, was it 8 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches that you ate over 20 hours? Like literally, I tried 2 Uncrustables. I thought I was going to throw up.
And those were some thick, the bread was like heavy. It was like seed bread.
What's that bread that you like?
The Dave's.
Dave's. People think about this. So Dave's bread, peanut butter and jelly, been in his pack, and he's just eating them while we're moving. Oh my God.
And those, do you want me to make them thin so they're easier to get down? No, I'll make them thick. I need density. I ate those. I ate maybe like 10 Fig Newtons. I had a lot of Fig Newtons. Tons of chips. I love chips. What else was I eating? Oh my God, those honey stingers. Whoo, yeah. Those things. But after a while, the chips, it's the longer you go, the more I want the salt. I even started like putting a chip in between the PB&J and eating it, which probably sounds gross to these people that aren't runners, but that crunch, like anything that's a little different. It's funny when you, I don't know, I'm actually interested to get your thought on this. I don't know if you think this is healthy, needed, whatever, but part of it is for a long time, it does look appetizing to me. I love to eat. You're hungry out there. And then, yeah, of course it's not. Do I want to eat another warm PB&J that's been rubbing against my side for 20 miles? Maybe not. I think a skill or something that I've acquired from running is the ability to numb things out. And I don't know if it's a good thing, like the mental pain, like Tyler and Bo were telling me like mile 30, they're like, Sean, don't your feet hurt? And I looked at them and I was much worse than yours. I'm on mile 70, you're on mile 30. And they're like, you don't look like it hurts. I don't have a choice. We have no service. We're in the middle of the wilderness. It's freezing cold. If I stop, I don't have any more clothes. No. My headlamp just went out. Like, just shut up and run, you know? And that's something that I play with, right? Because like, you know, usually numbing something out, it has a very negative connotation to it. But I do think
it's not, suffering is not pain, right? Suffering is this acceptance of the circumstance that some of our systems are giving us feedback, but it's not actually at a level of impact, right? This is tolerable. The system can tolerate that. We have over human history. We wouldn't be here if we weren't able to tolerate being hungry, tolerate the heat, the cold, all of that. If it was deadly, we'd all be dead, right? And so, but we've gone to this world of comfort. And so the minute it gets a little bit uncomfortable, oh my, the heat's off, it's too hot in here, the air conditioning broke, the TV's not working, we overreact. Our cortisol pops through the roof as if some saber-toothed tiger is going to jump through the window and get us. So no, I actually think that it's, you're going into this, what the system's capable of. One of your Navy SEAL buddies would say that when it feels horrible, maybe we're at 40% of how much of an impact it has on us. Like, you'd have to get to 90 before the system, and the system will just turn off. It just does. That's why you faint sometimes. That's why that would happen. Yeah. We're never really near that. But the thing, though, that you showed very well, and is there's a couple of ideas that people don't relate to in this. One, you can't catch up. Like, over endurance, you can never catch up. You can't catch up on sleep. You can't really catch up on food. Once you fall behind, you have really created a deficit that just has a terrible impact the longer you go. So that's what you did very well. You ate from the beginning, even when you're probably just starting. Like, I'm not that hungry. Right. You need to be eating then.
And electrolytes.
Right.
But I appreciate you noticing that, because it takes a lot of mental bandwidth. Yes. Right. My hands were numb. Like, my head was like aching. It was so cold in the morning and my water was still really cold. And I remember I said, Joe, Taylor, keep drinking just because it's cold, right? We're 20 miles in. I'm not thirsty. I drink a lot, but you can't pace too. Like, if you overdo it early, you can't catch up by going slow. You can go slow and then push, which is what we did, you know, with 10 miles to go. I just ate and drank a big electrolyte, and I kind of turned to Bo and Tyler and said, I'm not going to eat or drink the rest of the time. I'm not, because I don't want to stop at all. And I just want to run hard. My heart rate was way too high, but it's because we were going to the finish, right? And I know I finished a little under calories and probably at the end a little dehydrated. But for me at that point, I was like taking the luxury that I feel like I built up over the first 70 miles.
Yeah. But your mind goes into funny places. So I think it's actually trying to program it. And to your point, in hour one is as important as hour 15. You need to be hydrating and bringing calories. If you go to do a multi-day event, you can't go 36 or 40 hours and sleep then. You got to sleep in the first day. No one believes that. I'm not tired yet. Yeah, I know, but you got to break the pattern. You got to get some rest. So all these things are these learned behaviors that make it more successful. It's funny, I was watching, I don't know, maybe it was Paris-Roubaix this past weekend or the weekend before Tour of Flanders, this guy Mathieu van der Poel, who won both of them. He had the lead and he was maybe 20 minutes to go and he still took another gel, because while he had a great lead, he didn't want to take any risk that he would bonk in the last few minutes. So sometimes you're like, oh yeah, the last hour, I can just push my way to the end. This, Sean, you've probably been hungry for 2 to 3 straight days afterwards, even though you ate a ton then. I saw you on Sunday, you just kept eating because you cleared out every bit of glycogen, every bit of backup that you had was gone, even with all you put in. So yeah, it really matters. This nutrition thing is, and you're probably listening and saying, oh my God, you keep talking about food, but the longer you go, the more important it is.
Well, let's talk about the sunrise. That was my favorite. My favorite moment was kind of the push at the end, but my second favorite moment was absolutely, you know, we did, for people that don't know, we ran across Joshua Tree National Park from west to east and then came back from east to west, 80 miles in total. And we took off in the morning. We tried to strategically pick not too early so we could get a little sleep the night before, but start early to maximize the daylight. So we started at 4 a.m. It was freezing cold. And it was a 5-6 mile climb to start. The sun rose at 6:20. So we get to the top of that peak at like 15 or something. And Joe's, I was so tired. I thought we were running east to west instead of west to east. So Joe goes, look, you could see the beginning of the sunrise. I said, not unless the sun rises in the west, Joe. And he's, really? He's, because I know you didn't know the trail direction as well as me, but you're, I think it's getting lighter over there, Sean. And I'm, nah, that's got to be something, Las Vegas lights or something. And then it was just undeniable. And I was, okay, maybe. And then I was, oh, we're starting on the other side. But we had this sunrise, this rainbow sky with mountains in the background. There's still stars above. And the moonrise, it was that crescent just, it was like behind the mountain. So, and it made the moon look huge, even though it was a crescent.
And those trees on the ridge.
Joshua tree silhouette. And you just turned to me and you said, this is why we take a day off work, why we fly, why we drive, why we pack up, why we train. And I've been to Joshua Tree National Park 4 times. I've never, ever been back there, right? Like you have to run far to get back there.
Yeah.
And I even think about that. I was like, how lucky we were like to be in that section at that moment.
We knew that the eclipse was coming a couple of days later. So that, I don't know, there were, just as a side digression, I always have hope for humanity. There are a couple of things that happen in this life that always give me hope. Like before a basketball game or a baseball game, we sing, or people listen, stop for the national anthem, a race. Oh, wow. There is some civility left in this world. And then yesterday, millions of people stopped to watch the moon cross in front of the sun. They wanted to experience this, sort of the curiosity of the universe. And for a minute, we were all civil, right? We were connected to each other and feeling something different. It was the same feeling out there in Joshua Tree. It's this really unique moment where you realize that we can be good to each other, that this journey that we're on doesn't have to be taking from someone. It can just be experiencing the beauty of nature and of the earth and of the planet and the people. And it doesn't have to be competitive. And we're not trying to have more resource than someone else. And so every time I find myself there, I witness these moments of community, civility, and awe. You realize that we actually are capable of creating a beautiful universe for all of us. And I want to pull on those threads more often. So maybe we reflect that back to others so that we can all make this even a better time on our journey here. So that was my sort of bit of a spiritual takeaway from the whole thing.
Hey guys, Joe Gagnon, host of the Chasing Tomorrow podcast. And this episode is brought to you by 1UP Health. 1UP Health is a modern cloud data and interoperability platform that makes it easy to acquire, store, and share data between payers, providers, and patients. I hope you enjoy the episode.
I appreciate that. I mean, Bo said something. So do you remember that deep canyon that we dropped into that we were going down and down and down? And you said, man, I don't want to go back up this.
Yeah.
It was pitch black at night, pitch black. And we're going down there and I wouldn't say it's dicey, but it gets pretty narrow and pretty steep and especially rocky at night. You just keep your wits about you. We go there and Bo said, while we're running, he goes, there's something beautiful about having such a small world. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, our world right now is 10 feet by 10 feet. He said, my mind is nowhere else. Yeah. There's too much to worry about right now, but in a good way, like in a, I have to just worry about where my feet are and that you guys are okay. And then I'm drinking water, eating food, and that's it. That's all that there is to worry about. And I think that kind of relates to like what you were saying, that like there can just be like beauty, like in like the moment, like it doesn't need to be so complicated, like we're making it sometimes. And hey, I get it. Like we all have goals and missions with our work or needs for our work financially or to support ourselves, like all that. But sometimes when I'm out there, I just feel like this is like, it should almost be the opposite where it's like, I'm spending all my time out here and like little vacations to work. Like I almost feel like sometimes the paradigm should be flipped.
Well, you do a pretty good job of that, getting around the country. Speaking of which, the question you always get at the end of any of these big adventures is, are you ready to go do something again? Hey, you want to go back there? You want to explore new ideas? You know, we threw around a lot, even while we're hiking around and running. Oh, we should do the rim to rim to rim, or we should go do the spine in Croatia, or we should head out into the Colorado Mountains one day, maybe do the Colorado Trail. But you've been starting to think about some big stuff too, huh? I think, what are you starting to get curious about?
Yeah, it's funny. So when I, before any big adventure, sometimes even if I'm just going for like a long training run, I have to write down my why. And I think a lot of people have heard about stuff. What's your why or whatever? Start with the why. Simon Sinek has a good business book, but like really get granular. Why am I doing this, right? And generally I get to one point, and it's that I love doing it. There's a health element to it. There's a physical health element to it, a mental health. There's an accomplishment thing that helps me practice commitment to a goal, helps me practice stretching goals. It helps me be a good role model for friends, family, people in my business. There's a lot of things, but when it, like, if I had to choose one thing, it would be that I love running and everything, running on trails and everything that comes with it. And I was sitting there like a week or two before and realized that over the last 2-3 months training for this, I had one of the most fun, like, sections of my life, right? I was ripping trails back here, seeing, like, making the excuse on a Tuesday to take a 3-hour trail run. And again, that immersive moment where I feel like I came home off vacation, all that fun stuff. So I was there before and I said, before this run even starts, I do want to commit to something else. So there's a 119-mile route. It's mostly off trail in Idaho where you summit all 12,000-foot mountains. It's probably going to take all of 4 days. And I called my buddy Jason and I said, Jason, let's pick days and let's pick flights. Like, this is, we have to create our own trail. We have to discuss sleeping, like lots of things need to go into. And I said, let's pick dates and book flights and just commit and we'll figure everything else out. And it was just because I know what the next 4 months are going to look like if I commit to that. It's going to be a lot of time on trail by myself or with Emma or with you doing what we love. Like Emma's knees feeling better. She wants to go backpacking. Backpacking is the perfect training for this because we're just going to be walking with packs on, right? So it's okay. Now, instead of maybe me and Emma do a trip, we're going to do 2 or 3, right? Mm-hmm. And it goes back to another thing was the 5 days, Monday through Friday, leading up to the event. A normal day for me is 90 minutes of strength training in the morning, 90 minutes of cardio in the afternoon. With warm up, cool down, drive to the gym, unpack, shower, whatever. Call it 4 hours a day, right? It's a lot of time. In 5 days, that's 20 hours. Monday through Friday, I did maybe 4 hours total of like a little yoga, a little like jogging, you know? Mm-hmm. So your thought would be, wow, you have 16 hours. What'd you do with it? Like, did you do philanthropic work? Like, did you like write 16 hours of a book? Did you grow your business? Whatever. And like, I feel like I spent my time well. I don't have regrets, but there was definitely no like notable, massive productivity addition to my time. And that's something that I've realized is if you take something away and you don't add something in, it doesn't balance out. And like me adding in more time on the trail, my work still gets done. So it forces focus, right? That's Parkinson's law. And I just think it's funny how I know all these things are gonna get added in. And then I don't want to say nothing's going to be taken away, but I kind of feel like nothing's going to be taken away.
The efficiency of a busy person, the productivity of a person who's busy, the actual overall just temperament of a person who are the basic human need is to not just feed yourself, but be moving. And that's the way the whole system works. And the more that you use and leverage your resources, the better stimulated you're going to feel. And you're right. It's just, but that point is amazing, which is without a plan, you don't accomplish nearly as much. And so when you have the plan, wow, you get a lot done. I love I do 90 minutes in the morning, 90 minutes at the end of the day. If you didn't do that, you would never do 90 minutes in 90 minutes.
I learned a lot of that from you. And it's just like, what I like about you is you remind me of a quote from the Barkley Marathons. I watched a documentary there. So for people that don't know, the Barkley Marathon's a gnarly race. I don't want to get into all the details. That requires 5 loops. And the guy who won, they interviewed him after and they said, what goes through your head when you get back? So like 4 times you are at your car and it's so easy to quit. Most people go sit in their car, right, to get warm. Like you have like a warm car. Most of these people like lay down their back seats. You could nap. You could just eat. and sleep and be good. And he just said, you don't have a discussion with yourself. You just shut it down. Like there's just no discussion. You've hit your pull-up goals, your push-up goals, your blog goals, your running goals. And it's because, cool, Joe runs for 20 hours one day. He still writes a blog every day. It's not, do I have the energy for it? No, you just get to work. Business as usual. And that's something that I really, really admire about you.
I think
big time, Joe.
But same thing, without those goals, it doesn't happen but when you have the goals, you never compromise what's important either, Sean. That's the other part that's really interesting, right? Because you can still fit in what you're doing in your day. You just now have architected your day rather than let the day sort of just bounce from something to something else and the inefficiencies that brings. So while we have probably said this 10 times on this podcast, Glenn creates freedom. Everyone thinks that discipline constrains freedom, but it actually allows you to do more because you have managed your time and your resources better. And so it is a good practice, and it's good to just start simple on it.
Yeah.
The old story, which is it all starts with one step.
Well, Joe, I know we have a few minutes here. Give people one good story each from our adventure.
All right, you start.
Let's see. My favorite moment might have actually been after you left for the airport. We were sitting around the fire roasting marshmallows, and we went in the hot tub. I went to go shower, and they just went straight to like go sit around the fire. And man, people are just tired and out of it. You lay it all on the line. Taylor was walking around. She has a portable iPhone charger, and she thought that's what she had. She just had a normal charger in her hand, plugged into nothing. And she was sitting there with the plug kind of like in her lap texting. And I like walk around the circle and I'm like going to sit down in my chair and I'm, hey, Taylor, no, that's not plugged into anything. And she just looked down and lost it. And she's, I think it's time to go to sleep. Like, Did you think that was a portable charger? What's happening?
I think the part that it wasn't even on the trail. So for me, I knew you and I've met Emma just for a short period of time. I know everyone else was new to me. And the thing that I found so fascinating is how much people cared for each other and did stuff for each other. Oh, in the middle of the trail, Danielle handed me her poles because she thought I could benefit from them. You know, people just kept on doing something to help each other. Tyler gave Taylor something to drink when she ran out of water. And then back in the house, Robin was cleaning up because everyone else was tired and she didn't want to put a burden on everyone else to clean up. And then in the morning, Emma and Danielle made this amazing breakfast while a few of us went for coffee. The way that everyone just stepped in to care for each other, just completely intuitively, was just incredible to me, with a bunch of people who didn't even know each other and each other's needs, was just this warming and beautiful community feeling that I just, in my daily work, you're sort of just ramming from one thing to another and another meeting, another Zoom call.
I completely agree. I don't think either of us saying that we're not around people that would do things like that or whatever, but it was, I mean, even the text of, hey, I'm going to the grocery store. I'm shopping for everyone. What does everyone want? And even Robin told me, so I'm friends with Robin's friend, pretty close. We didn't know Robin at all. Like we met her at a Full Circle event and I was giving Kelly a hug goodbye and she said, good luck training. Robin said, for what? I said, I'm running across the desert. And she was, what do you mean? I'm there. And I was, what do you mean you're there? She goes, tell me the details and I'm there. And then she tech Kelly and was, these people are cool, right? And Kelly was, yeah, but you should have asked before you committed. Cause this was weeks later when she bought the flight, paid for the Airbnb. And Robin said, I just thought that people that would be into this stuff would be cool. And not to say we're cool as a group or to say that everyone should be running, but I think she more meant someone that's willing to prioritize their vacation as an outdoor mental, physical challenge. I do think it's a safe group to be around.
And just maybe one last point, Sean, is that often we get afraid of doing things with people we don't know, or we sort of isolate ourselves. This was an amazing example of it really came together because of the shared interest, the kind of people who are out there. But it doesn't have to be always so perfect. It just was amazing.
We will
definitely do some more adventures. Always love this sort of title of this podcast. Of course, I got to name it Chasing Tomorrow. But I think we all know this, Sean, and you do this all the time, which is if you build sort of ideas of what you want to do in the future, both you feel great about it today, you evolve towards really interesting and fun experiences in life. And you just continue to keep yourself engaged and interested in the journey. And so for all you listening, think about what your next adventure is. Get a few friends, get some people you don't know, go out and do it, figure it out, have a blast. That's what we did this past weekend. Sean, this has been, I just barely know you a year now. It's in May of last year I met you. I feel like I know you a lifetime. It's been such a pleasure.
Right back at you, Joe.
This is too much fun. We'll see you in one of these podcasts soon. I hope you feel great. And thanks for coming on the journey, everyone. See you soon.
Thanks.